Welch from Plantsmith, and we will proceed with the next hearing. The next case is Hartley versus Hartley. And Mr. Truel, you may approach.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Again, this case is Hartley versus Hartley.
May it please the court. My name is James Truel. I'm the attorney of record for the appellant plaintiff in this action, and I would like to reserve 5 minutes in rebuttal. It's a pleasure to be before you again, and I'm honored to be able to take this privilege. This is one of those cases in which a divorce settlement and decree did not end the divorce. The factual background is important in determining where we are going in this case. In 2010, there were a lot of problems with the Hartleys, not only financially, but also by marriage. Mr. Hartley sold off a lot of secured property with that was with FSA and kept the money. The big hair that broke the camel's back was a check that came in for a substantial amount of money. Mrs. Hartley, and the check was payable to FSA and Mr. Hartley. FSA endorsed the check, expecting the check to be returned to them, but it wasn't. Instead, Mrs. Hartley almost had to force Mr. Hartley to deliver some money to FSA. That amount was delivered, and the rest of it, however, stayed with Mr. Hartley and the family. Shortly after that, the petition for dissolution was filed.
Mr. Truel, I want to stop you for a moment. Record that we have, and this for Mr. Klotman as well, the record that was provided to us does not include the prior hearing which the parties agreed to and the court received going back a couple of years to the prior contempt action. And so we have not yet seen that. And so you may get some questions about, is that in the record? Because some of the things you've already discussed
Certainly.
Is not in the record that we have, and we have requested to get that additional hearing.
Very good.
So if it is something that's coming from the prior hearing, if you can please note that for us.
Right.
As you are,
I will try to do that. Most of that information would have been prior hearing.
Okay, thank you.
The information would also reflect that for a year and a half they negotiated. About 2012, September 2012, they finally entered into a property settlement agreement. That's part of the transcript. That was submitted and approved by the trial court on December of 2012. Between those times and in that area, Mr. Hartley was indicted by the federal government in regards to the selling of secured property. The property settlement agreement set forth that Mrs. Hartley would take the house, composed of the house and 17 acres of agricultural land, in conjunction for obtaining or maintaining and paying the FSA loan. That FSA loan was known to be a certain amount at that time, as reflected by the party's understanding and exchange of information. She agreed to hold Mr. Hartley harmless on that loan. Mr. Hartley, as the negotiations with the federal government pursued in regards to criminal prosecutions, was offered the ability to pay $70,000 toward that note to FSA in exchange for the reduction in charges. Mr. Hartley did that. In fact, the check shows payable to FSA. We are here today because we've asked the court to hold Mrs. Hartley in contempt because she refuses to honor the hold harmless agreement in which she said she would be responsible for that debt.
But did the hold harmless agreement encompass in the agreement that it included the ramifications from criminal charges?
The hold harmless agreement is just very broad. It just says, shall hold the plaintiff harmless.
But that's on the debt.
Right. It's just harmless on that debt. And it's on that debt, September 5th, 2012. That's what she signed.
Did his failure to return the check, the entirety of the check to FSA, endorse it and return it, did that happen prior to the The property settlement agreement?
That happened in 2010. The Duval property settlement agreement is 2012.
And is there evidence in the record that shows that she is aware that he had failed to?
Yes.
Return that to?
In fact, she testified that she encouraged him to make that payment. She knew he was not making that payment, and basically said, "You need to do that." That's why he actually paid them a chunk of that last check in 2010.
Did she know that that would result in criminal charges?
I don't know if she knew that or not. I don't know if either of them knew that or not.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Klutman.
May it please the court, my name is Eric Klutman. I represent the wife in this immediate case of Hartley v. Hartley out of Greeley County. We're asking the court to affirm the district court's decision at this time. Some of the facts, Mr. Truel went through quickly, and most of these facts are out of that transcript, which the court, I guess, does not have at this time, but I would just hit on the highlights of it. We believe, and we believe the court ruled correctly, that Mrs. Hartley's not in contempt as to this issue. Just quickly from the prior transcript, Mrs. Hartley, during this whole divorce proceeding, was working with FSA, trying to get them paid. She sold the farmstead, and that money was paid to FSA. She had a HAL check, that was paid to FSA. Even prior to the decree and the settlement being made, she was working with FSA through our mediation program to settle that debt. She even listed Ms. Joanne Hooker she's affiliated with FSA, to get cash flows, balance sheets, things like that. It's an offer-counteroffer process. She had been making offers, they've been countering and going back and forth. Finally, on April 8th, 2015, a final offer was made of $15,000, which she paid. There is a zero balance on that debt. There's nothing owed. She took care of it. Besides that, she made payments throughout the case. As this case was progressing, she was trying to take care of FSA. We were not aware of the indictment at the time of the entering into the settlement agreement. The settlement agreement was September, I believe, and the indictment, I don't know for sure, came out afterwards, but we were unaware of it. The settlement agreement says, "Hey, I'll take care of the FSA." It does not say specifically say, "I will take care of your criminal restitution or acts result of your negligence or your intentional acts of your negligence." It's a standard divorce decree, what debts each party gets.
So it's your position, she eventually took care of the debt that was anticipated at the time of the divorce and at the time the property settlement agreement was entered into?
Yes, and it was taken care of by her, and that's part of the record.
Did she take care of the debt or the balance of the debt after he paid a portion of the debt?
We were unaware of this negotiation, even this payment was even made, until he filed his contempt in this case. As you will see from the record, Mrs. Hartley, we were never contacted once about the criminal case and this payment. We had no input. We had nothing to do with it. Mr. Hartley and his counsel just went and made the decision themselves, and we don't know how much it was, if it was for debt, if it was for something else, but all we know is he had four federal felonies, all pled down to one misdemeanor in this case. Again, we had no input whatsoever on that case.
But he did pay something toward that debt. Do you acknowledge that?
The only evidence we have of that is Mr. Hartley's own testimony. You'll see in the record there is a plea agreement in there.
Well, assuming that he did, would she owe him whatever he paid since she was obligated under the property agreement to pay it?
It depends how you would classify what that payment was. Is it part of the criminal case? Is it part of restitution, the public policy behind restitution? Is it him voluntarily making this payment and impeding her? I don't know. That's a question we kind of left up for the court.
Was it a fine, or was it supposed to be restitution?
Well, the sentencing order is in the is an exhibit in the second bill of exceptions. It says zero restitution on there. The plea agreement, I believe, says zero restitution also. It's just kind of left out in the lurch. We don't know what it was, to tell you the truth, 100%.
Did your client receive any benefit from Mr. Hartley's, well, first of all, the basis of the charge is that he sold collateral and then didn't use the proceeds of that collateral to pay down the debt.
That's correct. He sold hay and cattle.
All of which was supposed to go to FSA.
It was.
Is there any evidence in the record, including the older one, that your client benefited from that in any way?
From the money he took from FSA and didn't pay on the debt? No.
Correct.
The evidence in the record, if I remember right from the first record, is he took the money and paid off personal loans he had. I believe he paid off on a truck, things like that. What's also in the record is that the only way the FSA got paid out of that initial money is because of my client. I think, I may be wrong, but that first record has in there that she wrote the check, that's all the money that was left in the account, cleared it out and sent it.
So whatever came from the sale of the hay and other collateral was paid by your client?
Well,
what you believe the...
Whatever was left after Mr. Hartley took his.
After he initially took it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it could be Mr. Hartley wrote the check, but we were aware of that there was a check deposit. We were unaware that it was being used by Mr. Hartley personally for his own use. And trying to rectify the situation, doing the best we can, she says either encourages Mr. Hartley or she did pay the rest. This money needs to go FSA. You sold the cattle, you sold the hay, and they need to be paid. They were secured by it.
That all happened before the property settlement agreement.
That did all happen before the property settlement.
So everybody knew that, and the property settlement agreement contemplated she was going to pay off the balance of the debt that should have been paid but wasn't, correct?
Correct, and I could fill the court in why that was. At the time that the property settlement was negotiated, Mrs. Hartley wanted to keep the farmstead. Mr. Hartley did not want the farmstead. The FSA debt was secured by the farmstead, so the only way she could keep the farmstead is to take responsibility for the FSA debt. So that's why she took the FSA debt, and she's going to work out this program with them and do payments or do whatever she needs to do to take care of it.
And then subsequent to that, he's indicted. He ends up paying something toward that debt, and she doesn't want to pay whatever he paid toward that debt.
She wants to pay what she's responsible for. Is that debt? And she was working through the program. We don't know if it got impeded by him in his actions or what happened, but the record also will show that Mr. Hartley took out loans to make that payment and defaulted on those amounts, and later on filed bankruptcy on those amounts. So we don't know if he's ever paid those amounts. He took a loan. We know that.
There's fact questions as to those things.
It is a fact question as to those things.
So your position is your client worked with FSA and did whatever they required to get to the point where the debt was down to zero. She felt that she had met her obligation under the agreement, and the record is not really clear what the rest of the situation was given the criminal proceedings that took place.
Yes. Mr. Hartley testified about those parts, and again, we have no clue what happened with the criminal case. We're never notified. We're never asked about it. Nothing. Zero. Zip. We get this contempt. There's been a couple contempts in this case, and that's the first time we know about it. That's after the decree has been entered, a long time after even the settlement agreement has been entered in this case. Again, it depends how the court weighs. Is that payment that you made, is she in contempt of it or not? there's still a second component. She willful in contempt of the court order. We would say no if the court came to that conclusion based on the fact that she was doing everything possible to take care of that debt and service that debt and working on that debt. The first record, which you will be receiving, will show that. She's years of working with FSA. She started before, I believe, before even the decree was entered, or right after it, working with them, trying to do what she can just to make sure everyone's whole. I know that the appellant argues about indemnity agreements and things like that. As you see in my brief, there are several cases, not in Nebraska, it's a first impression here. Can you identify somebody for their intentional negligent actions or their sole actions? If you look at the Illinois cases, I think in the Connors case and the Louisiana cases, they specifically deal with that issue. No, you cannot identify somebody for their sole actions. So based on that, we ask the court to affirm the Greeley County District Court. Thank you, Mr. Klutman. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. And Mr. Truel, how much time do we have?
Okay. We'll make it quick.
All right.
Restitution, even the trial court found that there was no restitution ever paid. Therefore, the use of the term restitution is inappropriate in determining whether or not the payment of restitution should be subject to the ability to indemnify.
What did the evidence at the hearing show that this, I'm stuck with a $29,000 figure, is that correct? What was the amount that he
paid? A total figure that he paid FSA comes to a little over $98,000.
Okay. All right. What was the evidence at the hearing as to exactly what all that was for?
That was an amount that was still owed, or that he in fact had paid to FSA under the $75,000, together with the amount that he agreed to pay subsequent to the conviction of some $17,900.
So 20-some thousand dollars then?
It's still owed.
And is that as a result of the criminal proceeding?
There's nothing ordered in that. That was an agreement between Mr. Hartley and the U.S. Attorney's Office. In regards to the debt, what we're talking about, again, if you, in fact, say that Mr. Hartley should not be compensated or reimbursed or indemnified, what you're doing is allowing two parties to negotiate a hold harmless agreement and then turn around and throw it out the window because one party or the other ends up having a suit brought against him on a debt the other was supposed to pay. In order to avoid getting a judgment on the suit, he voluntarily turns around to the creditor and pays them the balance due. He has, in fact, benefited himself by not getting the lawsuit, by paying it off. That's what the judge said in this order. He received the benefit of the payment. Therefore, he shouldn't have to pay. That's not the way the agreement worked. The agreement was hold harmless, that even if he pays in order to avoid a problem on his own, he has the ability to go back against the person who agreed to the hold harmless agreement. Indemnification agreed is not should be for negligence or a criminal action, but this is not negligence or a criminal action. This is an action in which both parties participated in during the marriage. They both benefited from the lack of payment to FSA. Both of them knew it happened prior to the signature on the property settlement agreement, and they both knew there was an indictment down when they went to final hearing at a time they could have withdrawn their consent to the property settlement agreement. They did not. Both of them agreed to it in open court in December of 2012. Mrs. Hartley knew it was there. She still agreed to indemnification. She still agreed to pay him back. It's only right that under what she agreed to, she should be agreed to be responsible for it. Otherwise, why do we have hold harmless agreements? We've opened a can that disastrous for litigation.
What evidence do we have that this is willful and contumacious contempt?
Because she has basically said, I'm not paying it because it was, he was ordered to pay it criminally. She has indicated she will not pay it.
Well, she has paid after the prior case.
She paid that because the court ordered her to.
Okay. How much time passed before, from the time that ended until this subsequent case was filed?
That happened back in the summer of, let me think, 15, and we started the second suit in 18. Late 17, early 18, we made demand for payment again during that period of time, and she refused to make any payment. We just ask that the district court's order be reversed. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. The case will be submitted, and it is under submission. You are excused.
Thank you very much.